This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Greetings everybody. We're coming to you from the Wairarapa, New Zealand, and it's Anna Marie Kingsley and Margaret Crawford, and we're talking about Beyond Panic. And today we're going to talk about energy.
Yes, it's generators and heating sources and sources and things.
Or it's when the lights go out. It's as simple as that. It's when the energy goes gone.
When their power's gone.
Yep.
And if you're not off the grid and self-reliant, then you're very, very reliant on a national power grid. Yes.
And the power can go off from a storm that knocks down a couple of posts. Yep. It can go off from an odd explosion in a substation.
Yep.
We're not necessarily terrorists at this point, but, you know, anything that sort of disrupts your... And we're mainly talking electrical source, because your electricity runs your home these days.
It does. And with, you know, the advent of heat pumps, an awful lot of people's power, I mean, heating, is reliant on an electricity source.
Yes.
And you need to have some backups in there, especially if this happens. If the lights go out in winter, then that gets a bit dire. You know,
yes.
You need to be able to keep warm, you need to be able to cook food and things. So,
and the nights can be very long and cold.
They can, yes.
And cold.
Yeah, that's right.
And the newer houses are often built without fireplaces even.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So they're totally reliant on electricity.
Mm, yes.
So if we had to list all the things that, before we get on to having a generator, can you think of 10 things that are electrical powered in your house?
Well, you've got your jug. Your toaster, you know, you think about boiling water, even just for a safety thing. If you're getting water out of a tank that's been sitting in your backyard and you know, one of those little emergency water tanks, and you haven't cleaned it out in the last 12 months, you're not quite sure what's going on there.
Yes.
So you're going to want to boil that water, and putting it, you know, electric kettle, it's not going to work.
That's right.
Because you haven't.
So no tea, no coffee.
No.
No coffee makers, those fancy ones.
No rice cooker.
No microwave.
A lot of gas ovens now only work with a electrical spark.
That's true.
So even turning your oven on is not often not going to work.
Not guaranteed.
Your oven, you know, if you're using an electrical oven.
Yeah. Or the big air fryers these days. And
yes, that's right.
Microwaves.
Mm.
All the gadgets virtually in your kitchen these days are electrical, including your beater, your muncher cruncher, all those sort of, no, everything.
Your toasty fire machine.
Yes, if you go through a kitchen, it's all energy based.
Yep. Mm.
Then if you walk through the house, as you mentioned, heat pumps.
Yep.
So heating is basic, or heaters.
Your oil column heater, your electric blanket, your little fan heater, all that sort of thing is sort of reliant on power.
Forget about those ones who have electrical doors that open with a remote. Can you imagine you and your garage? Just remember, you have to have some sort of energy to drive it.
There's usually a pull switchy thing, like
that dangles down. You can change to
you can just yank on that, and then your garage door.
But I always wonder about these. You notice this advert where you're sitting there, and you can sit in your seat and just push a button, and it switches on. Oh yes, your television.
Yes,
all those things don't work.
No.
So when the power goes out, it's a real issue in our modern life.
So we need to think quite carefully about those redundancies on how to make sure if the lights do go out, what alternative things have you got in the background that you can use?
Yep.
Your most simple thing is a barbecue.
Outside.
Yes. Now, also, with all of these alternative power sources, especially generators and barbecues and things, you have to think very, very carefully about safety. There was a very unfortunate incident a year ago or two where somebody decided to put a gas barbecue in their living room to heat it up.
Ooh.
Did not end well. They all died. Carbon monoxide is produced when you have an inefficient heating thing like a gas barbecue.
Yes.
There's a reason these things are vented. When you have a gas heater, when you have a gas barbecue, there's a reason they say always, always have it outside, never bring it inside. And that's because of the carbon monoxide buildup. It is silent, and it's a killer.
It's a killer, and quick.
And it's very quick.
But it is a reality. So be careful.
Yes, you have to be really, really careful with it.
So have it outside on a patio or whatever.
Or in
the garden.
Yeah, just the outside undercover.
Yeah.
Is really important. With a barbecue, if you've got a little, sometimes they come with a little gas hob thing on the side.
Yes.
And you, if you have a kettle, have somewhere in your house, have a kettle that you can, like a little whistle kettle that you can put onto a heat source.
Yes.
Either on a gas element inside or on a barbecue outside. Now, you don't have to have the gas hob outside. You can actually just put it on your barbecue,
yes,
on the little grill, and it'll do the same thing, not as efficiently as if you had a hob. But that'll heat your water up, which is...
Well, there is also, if you read on YouTube, you can boil a kettle with tea lights. You know those miniature little candles?
Oh, yeah, true.
If you make a group of them, put them in maybe an old cake tin, but it must have holes in it, the side, to get air going.
Yep.
And a little
thought of that.
A grid that's like you have for cooling your cakes, you know, cake.
Oh, my goodness.
Thing.
Okay.
Put it on, and apparently, I haven't actually tried it because I'm a bit reluctant to put holes in the side of a cake tin, which I've been collecting for years. Yeah. But I believe that works. And or otherwise, an old muffin tin, you know, you can put
goodness
your tea
me
lights in that.
I have and, not
and
thought
you,
of that.
But you must give a bit of air for the for the
do
candles to burn. So you usually have a grid that's a little bit off.
Yes, yes.
These are all amazing things you can find.
On YouTube.
On YouTube.
Look up how to
the world is always worried about loss of energy.
It is. It is because...
We're so dependent.
Well, indeed. You know, it's sort of, you know, the first thing that we helped us hop off the savannah was fire.
Yeah.
You know, being able to cook your food.
Which is the other thing when we're talking about energy. Remember good old-fashioned wood stoves.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, to heat.
Yes, yes, and also you don't have to heat your whole house either. This is something people forget: is that you don't, you can either heat just one small room, shut all the doors, and live in your lounge.
Yeah.
If you've got a wood heater, bring all you know mattresses in and things. One thing I must say: be very, very careful with candles.
Oh,
I've
candles
had a couple
can
of house,
be
people,
fatal.
Friends who have burnt their houses down because they had a candle, put it on a windowsill. Left the window open, the curtain blew onto the candle, house went down.
That's right.
You have to be extremely careful. If you're going to use candles, make sure you have a fire extinguisher.
Yes, and enclose them perhaps. In a, you know, you can put a candle in a bottle and that sort of thing.
Well,
so that
have it so that it's on a wide base candle on a wide dish. You know,
yes.
It's on a very stable surface. Don't let children play with them. Don't let children take them into their rooms by themselves. Just be really, really careful.
Yeah. It's a flame.
You do.
It's open
flame. It's a naked flame. Yep, yep. Yeah,
simple as
really
that.
With your wood stove too, like if you're looking at building, if you're looking at buying a house, just look at the alternatives for if the lights go out. Do you have a wood fire in there? In your house. Now, you don't need to use it all the time. If you've got a heat pump, fantastic. Use that. Until the lights go out. But also make sure your chimney is swept so you haven't got nests up there because that's not going to end well. And make sure that you've got a wood supply and that that it's safe. You know, it's but that is something that you can use in an emergency. You can
that's
use
right.
Your wood.
Now, unfortunately, there's been a move in cities to ban wood fires
for a good reason,
and it's for smog and various other things, which is a pity because I think we should be looking at more efficient wood stoves that one could use.
Mm. And there are some very good ones that are coming out now that are extremely efficient and very, very clean.
Yes,
and that you can also cook on top of as well.
That's right,
which is good. So, yeah, so you know.
The other thing I've always wondered because we've got a wood stove in this room, whether we're talking in, and if we close the door and everything gets very stuffy, I tend to keep one window slightly open to get air coming in.
Yep.
Because I think again, it's using up a lot of oxygen, and we all go to sleep.
You know, it's not producing carbon monoxide like
no,
that.
No, it's just chomping off oxygen thing.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
You guess barbecue on the other hand, be very careful with that.
Yes.
The other thing is if you've got the money, you can get a generator.
Okay, but let's get on to our generators.
But you have to be very, very careful with generators. They are, you can kill people with these things. If you're not really careful about how you use your generator, and if you start plugging it into your wall sockets to light your house up, not only are you going to light up your neighbours ever so slightly, you're also electrifying the power lines. You have to be very, very careful about what you're doing. If you want to light up your house, you have to get an electrician to come in, and they wire it in especially for you so that you can then plug with an electrical cable. Your generator has to be outside. Do not have it inside or an enclosed space. It has to be undercover so it hasn't got rain getting on it because it is producing an electrical current. If you're going to plug it into your main circuit, you have to have an isolating switch that a certified electrician comes in and puts in. And that is so that you can, when you plug your generator in, you switch that switch and it isolates you from the main grid. If you don't do that, when the chap comes around to sort out your power lines, he thinks that power's off. Now it's not.
And you can be electrocuted.
You can be electrocuted. It's pretty horrendous.
And then you've got to deal with the dead body outside.
Oh, yeah.
Which is now making for seizures. But, yes, so power can go backwards.
It can.
And knock something else
out. Yes. Yeah. So generally what you would do is you would, unless you had that specific thing in your house that you could isolate yourself from the national grid, you have your generator outside undercover, and then you have it goes to a power circuit inside that you then plug your appliances into, like your jug, a fan heater, if you want that going. You're not going to run your generator for that long, but you can plug your fridge into it for a couple of hours. You can plug your freezers into it for a couple of hours every day. If you're buying a generator, you need to look very, very carefully at the kilowatts that it produces, or the kilovolt KVA.
Yeah.
Because you can buy little tiny generators for 600 watts, but they don't do anything. You know, you can run lights on them. That's basically it. If you look at an electric jug, to get that boiling, I think that's usually somewhere between 1600 watts and 2000.
So choose up anything that heats.
Yes, indeed.
Choose up a lot of energy.
Even your freezers can use quite a bit of energy as well. Your fridge certainly does. So you need to look very carefully at what you're trying to run with your generator, and you're either doing it, you haven't got everything running at once, because then you're going to blow a fuse on your generator, or just a little switch actually, what do they call it, a circuit breaker thing, you pop that back in again. But you do need to think quite carefully about what you're trying to do with it and how big you need your generator to be. Yeah. Keeping in mind that the larger your generator, the more fuel it's going to use.
Okay, so then we switch into
another source of energy.
Yeah.
So you also need to think about, with your generator, what's the other thing there?
Well, I think is skill in understanding this.
Maintenance, that's
right. Yeah, maintenance.
Yes, we've had friends who, we had a huge power cut that lasted about a week a couple of years ago, and our friends went out, rushed off, and bought generators. They ordered a generator sitting in their shed. 2 years later, happened again, and they rushed out to get the generator, and they thought, oops, first of all, I don't have the oil to put on this thing. Yeah. I don't have any extra fuel. I haven't maintained it, and now it doesn't go.
Yeah.
So you need to
make sure. Even though it's an emergency item, it's like the water you store.
Yeah.
You've got to actually refresh and maintain your source, your backup sources.
Just having it in the back of the shed does not mean it's going to start.
Okay.
You know, you need to make sure that you've actually got these things maintained. Like any electrical or mechanical thing with a motor, you have to.
But I think the big thing is also understanding how these things work. Yes. I mean, I do have, should I call him still the worker? He said, oh, we'll just get a generator. And I gave him a long look. I've learned not to say, are you mad? Because that isn't quite the way you answer. Because he has no idea. I don't think he can change a plug. We don't change plugs. Or a light bulb. But further than that, has no knowledge of electricity. And I think you don't play around with things like, you know, generators. He would be the type who just plugs it in.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
So also understand, who's going to deal with this? Have they got the skills or the knowledge?
Can you lift it as well?
Oh, well, that's another story.
Now, you either have it on a little trolley in your shed, but generators are heavy.
Yeah.
You know, you can get it. You can get portable ones for caravans, which are quite useful for boiling a jug, and they're quite quiet. You can pick them up and tootle them around. But they're not light. I wouldn't be able to pick one up like that. You know, even those lighter, I'm using inverted commas, they're still quite heavy.
Yes.
So you can either put it on a sack trolley, if you've got a sack trolley, or you can have it on a little trolley that you can wheel about.
Yeah. Are they efficient in use of fuel? Because, you know, we will go on later on talking about fuel, but I mean,
they're not too bad, depending on how much power it's actually producing.
Okay.
Obviously, the more power you're producing, the more fuel they use.
It's chomping up, yeah.
Yeah, it is. And you also, if you're storing, not so much with diesel. Diesel will last quite a while in a container. But if you're storing petrol, 6 months is about as long as you can have it in a container.
Oh, really? Okay.
It amazes me when they have, you know, the Mad Maxes and the sort of the zombie movies on TV and things, and they talk about all this fuel, and there's always the baddies are hooning around with trucks and things, and they've got all this fuel, and you go, where exactly did that come from?
Yes.
And how exactly did you store? Because fuel goes off. It really does.
That's quite quick in six months.
Yeah, it does. It does. It either absorbs water just out of the atmosphere, or it volatilizes or whatever, and it doesn't end well for your little engine, so you need to make sure your fuel is fresh. You know how sometimes when you go to start your lawnmower after winter or a very dry summer,
it just doesn't do anything.
It doesn't start very well, and they go, oh, we'll just put some fresh fuel on it, and then go, and then it works. And the reason that happens is because a lot of the bits that make it go, make it kind of explode in the little chambers, have volatilized, and they've just disappeared out into the atmosphere.
So fuel is, when we talk fuel in more detail, that's one of the issues that come up.
Yep.
So you're going to go on to mentioning, why would you need a generator? So if you are, for instance, medically compromised and you need an oxygen pump or something.
Now, little oxygen machines tend to come with a battery backup as well
to cope for
those, you know, 12 hours or so as a backup if the power goes out. But longer term, you're going to need things like that. If you've got somebody who's immobilised heating, it's going to be a bit tricky.
Okay.
You need to think, do you even need a generator? Can you get by with your barbecue? Can you get by with your wood stove?
And your candles, your tea lights.
And your little tea lights.
We can go on about tea lights heating as well.
Your tea lights, you know, they have lots of things online about putting it upside down in a flower pot and bits and pieces. The BTUs, which is British Thermal Units, are the same coming out of your little candlelight. You're not increasing that amount of energy. You're just putting it into a storage system, whether you're putting it in.
I must say, I want to try a lot of these things.
I've tried it with a tea light. It doesn't work terribly well.
To heat?
Yeah, to heat.
Yes, I think I read that somewhere as well, that, you know, this idea of heating, of what's taking a terracotta pot, flower pot, putting it upside down and your tea lights inside, takes so long to heat the actual pot, especially if it's been really cold, and then your tea lights are virtually dying, so you have to put new tea lights in.
And now your pot's hot.
And it doesn't actually heat a room.
No, it doesn't.
So be realistic.
It's to me, the best way of heating yourself up, if it's cold and winter, the lights have gone out, hopefully you've got your little head torch that you've had charging quietly there on your little power bank. Get your little barbecue, heat up some water in your little kettle that you've got prepared.
You keep some in a flask so you can you don't have to heat it twice.
That's right. Yeah. And you have hot water bottles. To me, hot water bottles are absolutely fantastic. Yeah. But you do need also health and safety.
Cover them.
You need to make sure that they're not old. Old hot water bottles are very dangerous. Rubber perishes.
I know that story. I've had twice some kind husband has made it, and I've got into bed and it's popped.
Yes.
And the whole bed, mattress, etc., has got boiling water in it.
That's fair.
Not a good idea.
No, because it gets cold and then it doesn't end well.
So hot water bottles and having a few rugs around.
Absolutely.
That you can wrap yourself in and keep the windows closed.
Yep. Huddle. Yeah. If you've got your family there or people that you love, snuggle. You know, snuggle up on a blanket. You don't have to sleep in separate.
I think a lot of people would love that, including the worker.
Well, it could be a whole new romantic episode.
I know, that's right. So heating as an alternative source is actually quite a challenge.
Yes.
But it's also looking at your house. Are the windows secure? I mean, I'm sitting in this room. I know some of these windows have little drafts that come through.
Yep.
Now, if you're a good craftsperson, you'll make all those little sausages, you know,
cloth or something, like
we all did in the old days. And you put them under at the bottom of a door or on the windowsill, and that holds the draft away.
Yep.
I can see my mother and my grandmother coming up in spirit and telling me all these things, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
Because they had to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, put a hat on.
Oh, yes.
We go out tootling about in our very ancient caravan. It's about 55 years old. It is extremely cold in winter. So we've learnt some quite good ways of staying warm in the caravan that does not involve tea lights, but it does involve a lot of hot water bottles.
Oh, yes.
And those little covers that go over the water bottles.
Yes, I know. I've made lots of those over the years.
Right.
But actually, that's not a bad thing to remind people. A hot water bottle that has boiling water in is very hot.
It is really hot.
So really, if you can put a cover over it, you can always... And they sell the most beautiful ones if you don't want to make one.
Yes.
You know, with little teddy bears and all sorts
of things. But also be extremely careful when you're filling it.
Yes.
I had a very nasty burn from rushing and it tipped all over my hand. It didn't end well.
Yeah.
You need to replace your hot water bottles fairly if you look at them every year. Make sure, and even just, honestly, just sitting in your hot water cupboard, they're deteriorating.
Well, they're heating and the rubber's
deteriorating. The rubber deteriorates over time anyway, as you know, from tyres and things. So you need to make sure that they're up to snuff. And it's funny, staying warm is there's weird things. Just a raincoat. Raincoats, you lose a lot of heat.
Oh, for your body.
Through your clothes.
Yes.
Your clothes are designed to let heat out.
Yes.
As well as keep it in, to keep you warm. But they also let an enormous amount of heat out. So if you find yourself getting cold, put a raincoat. Make sure it's dry. You'll be dancing around the rain with it. But put it over the top of your legs or over on your body.
Yes, so it's an insulator.
With the children, put a raincoat over the top of all your big clothes. It's amazing how much heat that keeps in. It's incredible, actually.
Well, you know, also I noticed that there's been quite a lot of advertising of getting emergency blankets, which are those silvery
things. They crinkle. Oh,
crackle.
My goodness.
Do they work?
Yeah, they do. They do. But there might be a wee smothering in the middle of the night if you've got a child that wriggles around and around and around.
Oh, I see, because it lets nothing out.
No,
it doesn't let air in.
They make a lot of noise.
Oh.
They crinkle. So they're fantastic for emergencies.
Yes.
But long-term, a raincoat.
Have you ever slept in a hut.
Oh, yes.
And then someone's got a plastic bag. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, they want to get something out of it. And you get crunch, 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 crunch. Yes.
That's when your torch comes in quite useful for throwing at them.
Yeah. So keeping warmth in is a whole thing. So be aware of it's going to get cold.
Yeah.
And, I mean, today is quite cold. We're not going to say it's the middle of summer, everybody. No, we're recording this. But it does get cold. And to keep warm,
yes.
I mean, the other thing is, I think if you can keep your feet warm, you've got good socks.
Yes.
Good socks and lovely fluffy slippers if you're inside.
Yep.
That keeps you much warmer.
Put your feet on a cushion.
Yes, in a cushion. Yep.
Floors are cold.
Yes.
They are. Even with carpet on, they can still be quite cold. So if you put your feet with your socks on top of the cushion, if you're just sitting there, huddling all together, with the hot water bottle, I mean, honestly, I often stuff a hot water bottle down the back of my trousers when I'm mooching. I know it sounds strange. You do slosh a bit, but it is amazing how much.
Oh, I know. That's a funny part of your body that freezes.
It is. It is. Yeah. So if I get a hot water bottle and I stuff it down with like a like
lower
a
back.
Lower back, between my shirt, stuff down my trousers, and I've got clothes over the top of that. And that is incredible at keeping you warm. It really does, because it heats up the centre of your body.
Yes, it's the core, core of your body.
And then you can still do stuff.
Yeah.
You do make a funny sloshing noise when you're walking.
Well, I was going to say, you need a strap around it, you know, a big sash.
Well, that's why you've got trouser bend, you see.
Yes, I suppose so.
Yeah. When you're sleeping, often your head will get cold, and your head loses an awful lot of heat.
Yes.
You can either put a hat on, or if you've got a little pinhead like me, I've got a head shaped like a bullet, hats pop off at night. Yeah. Some people have got very sticky little heads in there, and things stick to them like Velcro.
Okay.
I think my husband's a bit like that. He's got sort of, he's a bit bald, so he's got this little kind of, he can keep a hat on his head. I can't keep hats on my head very well.
Yeah.
So what I do is when I'm sleeping is I actually put a fluffy blanket around the top of my head.
Oh, right.
And it's amazing how much warmer that keeps you.
Yes.
That's really good.
Well, but my nose always freezes. I hate it, you know, and I will cover myself up, and you've got to breathe.
Yes,
and
you
then
do.
Your nose
so
is
you're not smothering.
Is the other thing. But yes, so we can start ending up this particular part of the program and carry on soon. But so we've covered things like generators.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. A lot of health and safety.
Yes.
Which we'll keep going back to because we don't want to kill ourselves off too quickly.
No.
It's not a good idea. and warmth.
Yes.
You know, how to keep warm.
The other thing you can do, this is a bit odd, but you can actually put up a tent in your lounge.
Yes, I've
and
seen that.
And I know
that.
This sounds really, really odd, I but know. Heat goes up.
Yes.
Okay, and so if you can make another barrier that stops that heat disappearing, you can actually make yourself and for yourself and your family a little cave inside your lounge. Yes. Kids will think it's fantastic because, you know,
it's like
all over again. But you can use bits of furniture. You can put, if you're sleeping, you can put big mattresses on the floor, and you can use bits of furniture to make either, if you haven't got a tent, to put over the top of the furniture, and you can sleep in under that, and that heat that goes up will come back down again.
Yeah.
Warm a little bit of an
inverter. So, actually, it's a smaller area that you're having to heat.
That's right.
And you're using your body heat.
Yes, and be very careful if you're eating baked beans. You don't want to fix that.
Anna Marie, thank you for this session. We're going to go on soon for our next session. Carry on with this.
Right.
Thank you. Indeed.